learned the Gemara Lamed Bava on the base. We've been reviewing the Gemara. The Gemara presents the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel thinks that the two psukim have to be blended in together. Lo yomish seif ha-teres ha-mipicha v'hagis v'yom v'loy lo should be blended in with Yosafta d'gonecho v'sirosh chavitzarecha ha-hanek b'aminik d'acheretz. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai thinks that that it's not proper. If you really yosim ritzon shamakom, you really shouldn't work for a living. And the Gemara says that history has indicated just doesn't work. It's not a good program for the masses. Maybe for Yechidus Gula it's good, but for the masses it's just not going to work. Then the Gemara comments that in the Doris HaRishonim Shosu Tairosam Keva Malachtam Aroi, they succeeded in both Zuvazim Iskaim Abiyodim. In the Doris HaRishonim, the Doris HaRishonim and the Doris HaRishonim, they're both following Rabbi Shmuel. But the question is, where do you place the emphasis? Do you place the emphasis on the learning, or do you place the emphasis on the parnasa? So the Doris HaRishonim, where they were Isaac in parnasa, but the learning was keva and the malacha was aroi, so they succeeded in both. And the Doris HaRishonim, where they placed the emphasis on the malacha, on the parnasa, and the Torah was aroi, so zuvazulain is kind of yodim. They didn't really make a living and they didn't succeed in learning either. Both were weak. There is a Taisus in the last Perek in Yuma, where Taisus, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Taisus HaRosh on the Daf quotes that Taisus, and now goes Maimini quotes, Machlek is the Rabbeinu Tam, I think, in the Rabbeinu Ochanan. When it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Yofa Tav Matar Im Derech Eretz, so the word Derech Eretz usually is understood as Parnasa. So the question is, which is the Iker and which is the Tofel? So the Rabbeinu Tam says that whenever you have X in Y, so the Iker is the second one, and the Mishnah is, the Gemara is telling you, you should have the first one in addition to the second one. The second one is the Iker. So he says, you offer Talmud Torah Derech Eretz, the Parnassu should be the Iker, the Derech Eretz should be the Iker, and the Torah should be a Tofel to it. The Rabbeinu Chanan says, how can it be? Isn't it obvious that the Iker should be the learning, and the Parnassu should be the Tofel? Isn't that what the Gemara says over here? There is a Rishonim with that also Malachtam Aroi and Tairosim Keva, Zuvazun is Kaim Abiyodam. And the Doris HaChronim, when they switched the order and they made the Parnasa the Iker and the Torah the Aroi, Zuvazun is Kaim Abiyodam. So how can the Rabbein and Tam say against the Gemara? So Rabbi Chana Vasseman makes a suggestion. He dug up a Zohar from somewhere that when that Mishnah says, Yafatam Term Derech Eretz, Derech Eretz over there doesn't mean Parnasa. It means mitzvahs. How does Derech Eretz mean mitzvahs? Very strange. The Gemara seems to say that the accepted opinion is like Rabbi Shmuel, Hanik ban minik Derech Eretz, but you should see to it that the Torah should be the Iker, and the Parnasa should be the Tofel, and then it'll be Zilvazun, Iskaima Biyodim. Then the Gemara brings out another contrast. Boy, Rasha, look at Doris HaRishonim and Doris HaRishonim. Look at another difference between the Doris HaRishonim and the Doris HaRishonim. In the Doris HaRishonim, they were always eager to become obligated to fulfill another mitzvah. They always went out of their way to become chayv in mitzvahs. In the Doris HaRishonim, they're always looking to have a het mechira. So we have a het mechira, so we solve all the problems. You have a shtar mechira for Shabbos, so you keep your business running on Shabbos, you have a shtar mechira. You have a het mechira for Shemitah. We have a siyum on Tainus Pchoris and nobody fasts. You have a solution to all the problems, so we don't observe any mitzvahs. So we're from the Doris HaRishonim. So the Gemara says the Doris HaRishonim, they're only looking for haromis. The din is that in order to become mechuyev in hafrashas trumas and maisris, in order to become tevel, you have to first have a chiyev hafrashas trumas and maisris. When is the chiyev hafrashas trumas and maisris chal? You have that first miruach and then riyas pnei abayis. And it has to be in the correct order. What happens if you do it out of order? If you first do riyas pnei abayis, then you do the miruach. So then the Gemara says, menochas da min ator yinat chayv. Min ator yinat chayv. And even if you'll do in the correct order, you'll do first miruach, and then Riyas Pnei Abayis, but you won't do the Riyas Pnei Abayis in a normal fashion. The normal way is, Machdis and Periseyim, How does it say? Bedoris harishon machnis be derech traksamon kedelach ayvim mas. Traksamon is the front door. When you bring the peris in, rias bnei abayis means you bring it into the bayis the normal way. If you bring it in derech gagas, derech chatzeres, derech karpifois, then you're not chayiv. Then you put them in a maisis. So the Doris Achreinim used to do harama. The normal way is to do rias bnei abayis. What's called a harama? Harama is what we call technically a legal fiction. Means it is legal, but you're going out of your way. Let's say they have the heta mechira for Shemitah. In the normal course of events, nobody in Eretz Yisrael is interested in selling their farm to any non-Jew. Not to an Arab, not to a Christian. They want that all of Eretz Yisrael should be under Jewish ownership. But in order to avoid the dinim of Shemitah, they're following those opinions that this works. Others hold that it doesn't work. According to those who hold that it works, if they sell to a non-Jew, which is really against their grain, they wouldn't have wanted to do that. Clearly, in order to be pater from the laws of Shemitah. Or over here, in the normal course of events, let's say I have a hotel. The normal course of events, I'm not interested in selling the hotel to this Schwarzer. But in order to keep the hotel open on Shabbos, I sell it to the Schwarzer and I tell him he gets all the profits on Shabbos. But I'm going to charge him for the use of all the secretaries. He's going to come out, he's not going to make too many profits. I all week long, I make a lot of profit. Even though I pay for the secretaries and the electricity, et cetera, and all the workers. But the deal for Shabbos is that he hardly gets any profit. So that's a haram. He's not a real partner. The person I'm selling to, he's not a real partner. I make him a partner just in order to, I go out of my way to do something I would have normally not done. Over here also, the normal thing is you bring in the tvuah after the miruach, derech traksim on the front door. He's going to bring it on the rooftop and then take it in derech gagas. That's abnormal. So to do something in an unusual fashion, in order to relieve yourself from observance of a mitzvah, that's called harama. So what's taka the din regarding harama? Do we permit harama? Do we not permit harama? Do we allow it or do we not allow it? The many hold that the heta mechira for shmita isn't valid, even if it belongs to a non-Jew. There's still an isra avodas hakarka. On the assumption that it solves the problem, on the assumption that it does solve the problem, are you allowed to employ a harama? So Tosis in the beginning of Preiris says that the klal is, it depends what motivates you to do the act of haroma. Am I interested in avoiding violation of an avera, or am I motivated in order to get rid of a mitzvah, to pata myself from a mitzvah? We have mitzvahs hasei, we have mitzvahs lois hasei. So let's say, Torah says you're not allowed to shave with a razor. But the person doesn't want to have a beard, but he doesn't want to shave with a razor. So he shaves with an electric shave. So he gets rid of his beard without violating the law. So is there anything? Some hold that it's awesome. Some hold that it's awesome to shave with an electric shaver, not because of a haroma. They hold that it's the same as a razor. You're over the same avera. Okay. So if you hold that it's awesome, it doesn't help. It's not a haroma. It's an illegal. It's fictitious and it's illegal. It's not a legal fiction. It's nothing with nothing. But on the assumption that one is permitted to shave with an electric shaver, so the question is, is there anything wrong with that? Why should there be anything wrong? As long as you don't violate the avera by hook or by crook, you're not in violation of the issa, so it's mutter. You can do a haroma. Let's say mechiras chametz. Why does everybody practice mechiras chametz? If we would sell all of our chametz and we wouldn't burn any chametz at all on our Pesach, then it comes out that we're doing a haroma. We all know we all have chametz. Every Jewish home has chametz. And there's a mitzvah of tashbisu, achmi amrishin tashbisu, to destroy the chametz on Erev Pesach. So if we would sell all the chametz and thereby avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu, so that would not be right. We don't sell all the chametz, we sell 99% of the chametz, 1% of the chametz we keep. So we burn that chametz and we yotze the mitzvah of tashbisu. Would it have been a bigger and a better and a fatter mitzvah, more geshmaka mitzvah, if we would have burned all 100 pounds of chametz? We have 100 pounds of chametz in the house. So would it have been a bigger mitzvah as opposed to now we only burn 1 pound of chametz? Probably not. The mitzvah is to burn, to destroy the last bit of chametz that you happen to have around the house. So you destroyed it. One person has 100 pounds of chametz, another person has 1 pound of chametz. So he has a bigger mitzvah than the other one? Probably not. Each one, the mitzvah is to destroy the last bit of chametz. So why should I burn all 100 pounds of chametz? Let me sell 99 pounds of chametz. So chabal tashchis. So let me sell 99 pounds of chametz and I'll leave 1 pound. I'll burn the 1 pound that I have. So the mitzvah be yotzei. So the selling of the 99 pounds of chametz is in order to avoid violation of the avera of Bal Yeroyah. on those 99 pounds, not in order to avoid fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not fulfilling anyway. The last bit of chametz that I have, I'm going to destroy. So if you do a harama, the mechiras chametz is clearly harama. If you do a harama in order to avoid violation of an avera, we assume that that's okay. If you would have sold all the chametz, and you would have thereby avoided fulfillment of the mitzvah of tashbisu, so that's not right. Tosfos in the beginning of Chorus speaks about selling a behemah mevakeres to a nochri. A Jewish farmer has to be concerned that when the cows are going to give birth for the first time in their life, behemah mevakeres means they're about to give birth for the first time, there's a 50-50 chance that the vlad will be a zohar. If it's a zohar, then it has kedushas b'chor behemah toirah, and it's also b'hanoah. There's an Isser Avoida, Lasava Bevachos Sharecha, you're not allowed to do malacha with it. So if it would have been Mizban HaMikdosh, you would bring it on the Mizbech, Shine, 1, 2, 3. You bring the Pchor to the Beis HaMikdosh, you makrov on the Mizbech, the Kohen will eat it, and that's the end of the story. Mizban Shein Beis HaMikdosh Kayom, you can't bring it on the Mizbech. So you have to wait till it gets a mum, and then you shecht it and you give it to the Kohen T. Wait till it gets a mum can take forever. You're not allowed to make a mum be a dime. You're not allowed to put up barbed wire fences that it should cause a mum. You're not allowed to make the mum. You're not allowed to cause that it should develop a mum. So you have to wait till it gets a mum. It may take a long time. It takes a long time, so someone most probably will violate an Easter. Someone probably will ride horseback on, it's not a horse. Someone will ride on the cow or use the cow to do some halacha, to carry packages or something. So Taisa says, since the motivation, Bisman Beis HaMikdosh, if someone will make a shutvitz with an akum on a behemah mevakeres, so he's using a haram in order to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. So that's not right. And the Gemara says that one of the rabbanim did it and he was punished and all his animals died. But Bisman Hazeh, the motivation to make a shutvitz with the akum on a behemah mevakeres is in order to avoid having someone violate the avera. So Tosfos says that that's permissible and recommended. Adarabba. We want to save people from violating avera. So we do that harama of selling behemah mevakeres. So what's over here? Hafrashas trumas and maisvus is a mitzvah, or is just an avera to eat tevel? Hafrashas trumas maisvus is only a matir. It removes the iser tevel. Or should we assume that's one part of the story removes the iser tevel, but another part is that it's a mitzvah? You say a bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvos u'tzvanu. Lahafresh truma, alafrashas truma. Yeah. So we mentioned yesterday, we're not 100% sure whether the fact that you recited bracha is a clear-cut indication that you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Not necessarily so. You say bracha ala shchita when you shecht the behemah. So it's not so clear whether shchita is really a mitzvah or it's only a matir. There's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether one recites a bracha when you do an erev chatzeres. Erev chatzeres is not a mitzvah, it's only a matir. The question we can't really tell. So from the fact that you recite a bracha on the hafrashas trumas ha'maisvus is not necessarily a full-fledged indication that it's really a mitzvah. This is a famous machlokes, is the Taz and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, the beginning of Simon Ches in Hilchas Tzitzis, it says in Shulchan Aruch that one should recite the bracha on tzitzis in a standing position. When you wake up in the morning, you should put on some mitzvahs. Shulchan Aruch recommends a whole list of mitzvahs that you should fulfill b'amida in the standing position, and the bracha should be recited in the standing position also. So the Magen Avraham generalizes all brichas ha-mitzvahs should be recited in a standing position. So then he's bothered with the kasha. Who was the one who came up with this amida? And the Gemara never says a word about this. This is from the Goinim. The Goinim, it says by Sfiras Ha'imi, you should recite Sfiras Ha'imi b'amida because it says mehocha chermish b'akoma. So that drasha, bakoma, bakoma, that's not nigimar. That's when they go on him. Some kind of a remnant and asmachta. So the Magen Avraham asks Akasha, how can they introduce such a chumre? How can the goyim develop such an idea? Isn't it in contradiction to a Mishnah? In the days of the Tanaim, they probably didn't have the whole chumre bichlal to recite all birchas hamitzvah b'amida. But still, his attitude is that you have no right to introduce a chumre that's contradicted by the Feirush and Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that says, "Oisha Yoshevis v'kotza halosa aruma." If you want to be mafresh chala, you have to say a bracha. So you have to, if you want to say a bracha, you have to be dressed. If a person is undressed, you're not permitted to recite a bracha. So the Mishnah draws a difference between a man and a woman. A man, the erva protrudes. By a woman, the erva is covered up. So the Mishnah says if a woman sits, so her erva is all covered up, so she's permitted to recite a bracha, even though she has no clothes on at all. A man is not going to help that he's sitting. A man has to cover up his erva. Ha'isha yoshebes v'kotza chalosa aruma. So the Magen Avraham asked the kasha, yoshebes. How can she say a bracha b'yeshiva? It says in Shulchan Aruch Simchas that he's supposed to say all the brachas on mitzvah b'amida. So the Magen Avraham says, that's not a mitzvah. Hafrashas Truma Samaisis is a matir. Even though he's saying a bracha, it's a bracha on a matir. It's a bracha on the chalois. It's not a bracha on a mitzvah. And therefore, there's no problem. He says, he assumes, Magen Avraham Simchas assumes that if you're not interested in eating the food, then there's no mitzvah of hafrash. It's only if you're interested in eating the bread that you bake, then he assumes same is true. Trumas and Maises, Chala, all these hafrashes to remove the Issa Tevel, it's only a matir, and even though you say a bracha, that's not a real birchas hamitz. It's a bracha on a matir, bracha on the chalois. On the bottom of the page, in the Shulchan Aruch, on Simon Ches, Rabbi Akivegi refers you to the Taz, in Simon Aleph, in Yeridei. The Taz writes not so. The Taz writes that the mitzvah of hafrashas, trumas and maises even applies in a situation where a person is not interested in eating the food at all. Let's say the government buys up all the surplus wheat from the farmers and they dump it into the ocean, or some of it they used to sell to Russia, whatever, to Eretz Yisrael, they sell to foreign countries in order to keep the price higher. If they're going to have a lot of supply and a little demand, then the price of the wheat is going to go down. So they make it that there's less supply to keep up the prices for the wheat in America, artificially. So let's say the government tells us in advance, the Israeli government tells us we're going to take tons and tons of tvuah, we're going to throw it into the Mediterranean Sea. So do the farmers have to be mafresh, chumas and maises, on the tvuah, there's going to be holach libud. We're not feeding it to the animals, we're not selling it abroad, we're going to destroy it, you're going to burn it, you're going to throw it into the Mediterranean. So the Taz says yes, the Taz and Simonov says yes, it's a mitzvah to be mafresh, chumas and maises, even if you're not interested in eating it. So Rabbi Kevege points out, and Orachayim Simchas, that this machleg is the Taz and the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham lived in the 1600s. So the Maharsham has a sefer on Yeridei that's called Das Torah. So the Maharsham is a phenomenal baki. So on Simon Aleph, on that Taz, he has a whole column, I think two columns, where he gives you Mar Mekamis from Rishonim all over the place. That this machlekes the Taz and Magen Avraham is an explicit machlekes of Rishonim. Is there a mitzvah of hafrashas trumas and maisris? Is it a mitzvah or is it only a matir? The Talmidim of the Vilna Goyen claim in the name of the Vilna Goyen that he had a compromise. He thought that based on the pasuk in Yecheskel that hafrashas chala is a mitzvah, even if you're not interested in eating it. And hafrashas trumas and maisris, that's only a matir. The Magen Avraham says not so. The Magen Avraham is talking on the Mishnah and Chalo, Ishi Yashevis V'kotza Chalosa Aruma. So the Magen Avraham says that Afrosh Eschalo is only a matir. So the Vilna Gaon says Fakir, based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Afrosh Eschalo is a mitzvah, like the Taz says, even if you're not interested in eating. And Afrosh Eschuma Samaisis, that's a matir. Pardon me? How does he explain?
Have to stand up and walk.
The standing up or the sitting down. Maybe he's not bothered with the kasha. The minig was instituted by the goyim, so you can't ask any kashas that in the Mishnais it says against the minig. The minig didn't exist in the days of the Tanakh. After the minig was introduced that you should stand up, so we wouldn't permit it because of being in violation of the minig. Maybe. I don't know.
What about the scene of the kai? The fact that there's no kai now.
After your Kohen Hashem and it belongs to the Shevet Kohen, and then it's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohen. But the Shadr Zayim Mochiv in the first place to be Kohen Hashem Truma in order to give it to the Kohen. So, according to the Magen Avraham, whenever you're not interested in eating it, there's no mitzvah to be mafresh anything.
The logical tefillah is that the Kohen that you have Truma. Mixed together, so you have
Mamun Kain
laying there right here. You have the
thief
to give it to the
Kain,
it's
So apparently they assume not so. Apparently they assume, even if you hold Truma Psicha Day, the Gemara neither has such an expression. When you have Tevel, so the Gemara says Truma Psicha Day. Psicha means Pasuch, blended in, the Truma is there. So they apparently assume, Tosis takes it literally, Truma Psicha Day. So Tosis would probably understand only the Truma with respect to the Iser, Lazar, but not the Moment Coin. The Moment Coin aspect only is Noilad after after you actually Koreshem. Apparently. So these are the three Shitas, yes, no, and sometimes. That the Magen Avraham says that all Trumas and Maisis and everything Tevel, the Hafrash, is only Amatir. And the Taz says, not true, it's always a mitzvah. The Vilna Goyen distinguishes. That's how the Talmidei HaGra quote in his name. The Vilna Goyen distinguishes. In his opinion, he's quoted by his Talmidim, he thinks that by Chala it's a mitzvah, by Trumas and Maisis it's only Amatir. You have a din. We just said yesterday, the Nitziv quoted a Tosfos in the end of Nida on Samach Vav Amud Beis, where the Tosfos says that we usually assume that a din lachatchila, the yeved, only applies to a din derabbanan. Let's say the Mishnayos in Gittin have lachatchila, you should write a get like this. And the yeved, if you didn't write the get like that, the yeved will still be kosher. So why do you have to write it lachatchila like that? So lachatchila, the yeved by a get, can only be midrabbanan. On the level of the rice, it doesn't make sense, because get is not a mitzvah. So you're not fulfilling a hidden mitzvah by making it, by putting in additional things, by making it fancier. By chalitza, there is a lachatchil and b'diyevet on the level of the raisa, because Tosis points out, because chalitza is a mitzvah. It's not just a matir. So chalitza is a mitzvah, so shach to say the mitzvah b'shalim musa requires it should be done like this, and b'diyevet, if you left out a couple of things, yotz in the mitzvah shalom b'shalim musa. So what do you say regarding hafroshes, trumas, and maises? Do you have any dinim lachatchil and raisa by hafrashas, trumas, and maisus, that should indicate that it's a mitzvah. That should indicate that it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara has a din lechatchila that's not miyakeh b'diyeved. Lechatchila you have to be mafresh trumas and maisus min hamukaf, b'diyeved afilu shalom min hamukaf. Min hamukaf means that the truma should be nearby, should be near the dover hanitar. Let's say a fellow's traveling in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever he's going to buy is going to be tevel, and he has to be mafresh trumas and maisus. So he has a lot of tevel at home, and he left his home a couple of weeks ago, so he doesn't know what's going on over there. He doesn't have a cell phone to call home to ask if all the tevel is still there. So can he continue to be, he's going to be mafresh when he buys stuff in the store. He doesn't want to buy more than he wants to eat. He wants to buy exactly the amount that he wants to eat, but you have to be you have to take out 21%. You have to take out 2% for Truma Gedoyla and 10% for Maaser Rishon, 9% for Maaser Sheni. That's 21% of everything that you buy. You're not going to eat. You have to give it away. So let's say he'll buy exactly, he's on a diet. He's going to buy exactly, he weighs everything. Halabai, we should all do that. He's weighing everything that he's eating to make sure that he's not overeating the right amount of calories. And then he's going to be Mafresh, Trumas and Maises. He has everything at home. He has grapes, he has wheat, he has olives, he has bananas, he has everything at home. So he's going to be mafresh, trumas, maisus, when he has at home and what he buys over here. So lechatchila, the Gemara says you're not allowed to do that, because that's shalom min hamukav. He's relying on what he has at home to be koreshem on this. And b'diyevet, it's chal. B'diyevet, we assume that it's still there. We shtalaf the chazaka, that the tevel that he left behind is still there. He told his wife and his children that they shouldn't eat it, that this tevel I'm going to reserve for the purpose of being mafresh as I'm going to travel around. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos in Gitna and Daf Lamed, whether that lachatchila is deraisa derabbanan. Rashi writes that that din lachatchila, not to be mafresh, loy min hamukav, is only midrabbanan. It's exerv derabbanan. Maybe it's missing. Maybe the tevel that he left home disappeared. Maybe someone threw it in the garbage. Maybe somebody ate it up. So Rashi says it's only exerv midrabbanan. And Tosfos there in Gitna, Daf Lamed and Beis, disagrees. Tosfos says that min hamukav is a lachatchila deraisa, learned that from the pasuk. Baharimchem eschel bo mimenu. Mimenu means min hamukav. Tosfos quotes a sifrei on that pasuk. Baharimchem eschel bo mimenu. Eschel bo means the mufchor. You have to be mafresh truma min hamufchor. Baharimchem eschel bo mimenu. So according to that Tosfos in Gittin, shouldn't think I have such a bikiyus that I remember every machlek is Rashi and Tosfos. In that sefer that I mentioned the other day, the Ara de Rabbanan, that's a fascinating sefer. He has everything, every topic in Shas is listed alphabetically, and he quotes whatever there's a machlekes, whether it's the Raisa or the Rabbanan. He tells you this is the Raisa, this is the Rabbanan, and this is a machlekes. So under the letter Mem, he quotes Mukaf, machlekes, Rashi, and Tosfos, whether din of Mukaf is a din, the Raisa, din, the Rabbanan. Okay? So the according to the Tosfos that you have a lachatchila deraisa by afrosha strum and chala, so the chora that should serve as an indication that it's really a mitzvah. If it's only a matir, so how can you have a lachatchila deraisa? So the chora Tosfos has to hold like the Taz and Siman Aleph in Yeridei. Tosfos has to hold that it's a mitzvah, and that's why it's shaykh to have a lachatchila miriyam. But the shad is an argimor. Argimor says that in the doras achreidim they used to do a harama in order not to be mafresh. They did a harama in order not to be mafresh. So what's the story with afrosha? Is it a mitzvah or is it a matir? So if it's a mitzvah, are you allowed to do a harama to pati yourself from a mitzvah? In the normal course of events, if you would have allowed everything to go normally, normal course of events, it would have become tevil. So he goes out of his way. Instead of taking it the front door, he takes everything up on the roof and he takes it down from there on Gagos. That's abnormal to do like that. So that's clearly a harama. So the Gemara says the Doras Achrayim did it. We're condemning them that it's not right. So are we condemning them that it's takah shaloi kedin, that they did harama and they patted themselves from the mitzvah? That's why it's not right. But they say no. Strictly speaking, the Doras Achrayim, they asked the Shaila and they told them it's okay. But it's not right that they shouldn't have done it. They still shouldn't have done it.
Why shouldn't
they have done it? The condemnation is because did shaloi kedin. They did shaloi kedin.
Praising the people from the Dairus who shine. Why is it critical?
Okay.
When you want to eat it, it's a mitzvah. When you don't want to eat it, it's a
matzah. If you want to eat it, then it is a mitzvah.
But you never know, like Kedushin. Kedushin is a mitzvah. You can treat that as a mitzvah. If you want to eat meat, then it's a mitzvah to do it.
Yeah, the Kesef Mishnah says on the Rambam like that. If you're interested in eating meat, then it's a mitzvah to shech. That's what he says. Anyway, this is the Shaila. How do you read this Gemara? The Rashba raises the issue, but the Rashba that I had doesn't read straight. So it's a little bit unclear with the Rashba. There's another, we discussed another aspect here. What do they do over here? In the normal course of events, first you do Miruch, then you do Rias Pnei Abayis. What if you only did Miruch and you didn't do Rias Pnei Abayis? Here they did Miruch, and they never did the Rias Pnei Abayis. If you only did Miruach and you don't do Rias Pnei Abayis, it doesn't become Tevel. You don't have to be Mafish at all. So the Gemara says, Min HaTorah, that's the Din. But with the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to eat Achilas Keva. You only allow Achilas Haroi. So what good did it do over here that there were Machnisim Periseim Derech Traximon? That they were machnis and derech gagos. Derech traxman is the normal way. Derech agos is the abnormal way. So the irregular way of hachnasa lebayis doesn't count as rias penabai. So there was no rias penabayis with miruch alone. With the rabbanon, after miruch, you're not allowed to eat the tevel achilas keva. So what did they accomplish over here? Unless it means they're going to feed it to the animals. Achilas aroi. The Mishnah says, whatever you feed to the animals is always called achilas aroi. Even though the animal eats like a horse, the horse is eating like a horse. He's eating a lot. That's called achilas aroi. By human beings, there are two categories, achilas keva, achilas aroi. By behemoths, everything is called achilas aroi. So is that what the Gemara means? And a tevel mischai b'mas hashira p'nei abayis. So since they did it if they do it in an irregular fashion, there's no rias p'nei abayis. So there won't be, there'll only be tevel with respect to achilas keva, but achilas aroi will be muta. They'll be allowed to feed it to the behemoths. That's what it means. They'll be allowed to feed it to the behemoths. And that din, if you feed tevel to a behemoth, if it would have been really tevel, you would feed it to a behemoth. How serious an issa would that be? Devil is mutabano. The Gemara in Pesachim in the second pair gives you a whole list of all macholas asuras. And the Gemara goes through one by one the whole list, which one of the macholas asuras are rasabano, which one of the macholas asuras are mutabano. Chometz b'Pesach is a machlokes hatanoim. We pass can also b'ano. Losa b'cholov is a machlokes hatanoim. We pass can also b'ano. Gid anoshe is a machlokes hatanoim. It's a question how we should pass it. Whether gid anoshe is also, Shulchan Aruch says muta b'ano. Question whether you should pass can also b'ano. Chelov is muta b'ano. Nevela is muta b'ano. Treifa is muta b'ano. So the Gemara goes through a whole list. All the machlokes hatanoim. Which are also b'ano? Which are muta b'ano? So the Gemara says that Tevel is mutabano. So what, if it's mutabano, why are you not permitted to feed Tevel to the behemoths? The Mishnah says you have to be Marfish Trumas and Isis if you plan to feed the Tevel to the behemoths. So Tosis says, no, that's a different story. That's called Hanoshel Kilui. Hanoshel, Enoshel Kilui, that's to have, I don't want to sit on the floor, I don't have a chair. It's to have sacks of grain. And the sacks of grain are like pillows. Sacks of grain are big things. So I'll pile a couple of sacks of grain up and I'll sit on top of all of it. And all the grain inside is tevel. If there wouldn't be all this tevel inside, I'd be sitting on the floor. I just have the five sacks and I'd be sitting on the floor. I would be uncomfortable. Because I'm sitting on five sacks of grain, which is tevel, so I have hanor. So that's mutabano. Tevel is mutabano. But to feed it to the animals, that's called hanor shel kilui. The animals are consuming the tevel. Hanor shel kilui is not allowed. So is that an isa derais or an isa derabon? Hanor shel kilui. There's a long Mishnah Melech quotes, it's a machlokes harishonim, where the hanor shel kilui by tevel constitutes an isa derais and isa derabbanan. So some interpret the Gemara over here, the machnisim perisei and derech gagois, what does it help derech gagois? If you have miruach, even without rias b'nei abayis, it's already, there's a din mederabbanan, there's already an isa tevel. Te'idir achilas keva. So it must be the Gemara means that the Doris Achrenim Achnisim Perisein Derech Gagois Kedei Lefotrim and Amaisa Vis-a-vis Achilas Behemo, for the purpose of Achilas Behemo. And Achilas Behemo, for the purpose of Achilas Behemo, the whole Issa is only an Issa de Rabbonon. So maybe it's Harome and an Issa de Rabbonon. Harome and an Issa de Rabbonon. Do we allow Harome and an Issa de Raisin? Some Achronim want to distinguish. We only allow Haroma regarding Anisa de Rabbonon. We wouldn't permit Haroma and Anisa de Raisa.
It's possible to say that this story, the Doris Achronim, was before the Hakamim de Rabbonon. So they're only applicable to Raisa.
Before they introduced the Gzeira of Achilas Keva? Could be. Hill was Mesak and Prusbel. He saw the people Rosh and Nimnu Mila Halbos. He saw the people were violating the Isser. The Torah has a din. When Shemitah comes to a close, all the Halbos are cancelled. So the Torah says, and if an Ani comes and asks for a loan, you're not allowed to borrow. Einecha b'yachicha evyom v'lasitan loy, because he's going to be concerned the Ani is not going to pay you after Shemitah. So Hillel saw they were violating the Avera, so he felt he has to make a takwana. So that would be the lesser of the two evils. If you do a harame, at least that's a legal fiction. Otherwise, they're going to be violating the Avera Mamish. Okay? It means sometimes we do recommend a harame if we know the alternative is going to be violation of an Avera.
Yeah.
The name of the parak is Ketz Marima Malamaisa Sheni Livdosa Belochomish. Yeah. Ketzad Marim, the Mishnah teaches you. Ketzad Marim al Maaseh Sheni Levdosa Belo Chomesh. So the Rishalmi says on that Mishnah that in Kol HaTorah Kula we don't permit Harama Chutz Mizu. This is the one exception to the rule. Why? Because it says, Ki Yivarechecha Hashem Alakecha. The Torah says that if you have tons and tons and tons of Maaseh Sheni, and to transport it to Yerushalayim will be so expensive. So it's not going to pay Pasha. The transportation is going to cost more than the value of the Maaseh Sheni. So the Torah gives you a break and it says, V'tzarta kesa biyadecha, you should be paid. So because the Torah gives us a break, and the reason why the Torah gives us a break is that we shouldn't lose money on the Maaseh Sheni. Ki v'recha Hashem alakecha ki lo silcha seiso. Torah gave us a break. So included in the break is that we allow haroma. That's what the Yerushalmi says. And Kol HaTorah Kula, we wouldn't permit haroma. That was the Yerushalmi that the rabbi from Buchoch, there really is a city, used to be a city, Buchoch. The Nazis destroyed everything, there's nothing left. But before the Nazis came, there was really a city in Galicia that was named Buchoch, and they had prominent rabbanim who lived there, and they wrote Sfarim also. So one of the rabbanim in Buchoch sent a letter to the Nesivis. The Nesivis was the one who introduced Mechiras Chometz for Jewish farmers. They used to feed chometz to the cows on Pesach. Today, I don't think anybody feeds chometz to the cows all year long. It's too expensive. Why should the cows eat steaks? Why should we spend so much money? So they give corn on the cob. They give maize to the behemoths. They finally realized that maize is much less expensive than grain. But years ago, they used to mix, used to take grain and mix it with water and make it mamish chometz and give it to the behemoths to eat. So the Jewish farmers, what they do on Pesach, so they would sell the chometz with the cows to the goy, your next door neighbor, and they would give instructions to the goy, the neighboring farmer, make sure you feed the cow breakfast, lunch, and supper. Breakfast is 7:30 in the morning, and lunch is this time, and do this and do that. They gave explicit instructions what to do. And they relied on the Mechiras Chametz that it avoids the Issa. If not for the Mechiras Chametz, they would have been getting Hanoah from Chametz Bet Pesach, because they're seeing to it that their cows are eating Chametz, which they think is healthy. They want their cows to be eating chametz. So that harama of Mechiras Chametz for the Jewish farmers was explicitly for the purpose of violating Anisa Derais. So the Nesivis said that it's okay. He was the one who passed him that it's not a problem. So the rabbi in Buchoch sent him a letter. How can you permit that? The Yerushalmi says in Ma'aseh Sheni that we only permit harama by Tosefes Chomesh. That's the only Mishnah. Ketzem Arim Amala Ma'aseh Sheni. We only allow that because it says the Torah says that with respect to Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni, the Torah doesn't want us to lose money. So you always, so if you do Pidyon yourself, you have to be Ma'aseh Chomesh. If someone else makes Pidyon, he doesn't have to be Ma'aseh Chomesh. So we would encourage the farmer, why should you be Ma'aseh Chomesh? Save your money. Instead of, if you're all Ma'aseh Sheni Mama Gavoya, so I can't give the Ma'aseh Sheni to somebody else. If it's Mama Bailam, you can give it away to someone else and then you'll be poda. If it's Mama Gavaya, then you're not a balabas to give it away. But the money that you're going to use to be paid at that, you can give to the other person. So I'll give you $500, and I'll say, do me a favor, you'll be paid in the Ma'aseh Sheni. So if we're not so friendly, so I'm afraid to give you the $500, you can say thank you very much and walk off with the $500. But I give you the $500 on the condition that it's only yours, on the condition that you use it to be paid in my Ma'aseh Sheni, then it's my money. Based on the condition, it's my money, so it has to be Ma'aseh Chomesh. I have to give it unconditionally, so it has to be a good friend whom I know is not gonna double cross me. I know he's gonna do the job. So that's what the Mishnah says. You give the $500 to a friend, a trusted friend whom you know is not gonna cheat you, and then he'll be paid it without the Ma'aseh Chomesh. So the Yerushalmi says that it's a special kula only over here. That's the first tshuva in the collection of tshuvas of the Nesivis. He has his response to the rabbi from Buchoch. So he says, look, rabbi, you want to be machmer, do whatever you want. My psak has been accepted all over Lithuania. You go fly kite. You don't like it, though. He says, the Bavli, so he writes, the Bavli doesn't agree with the Yerushalmi. The Bavli talks in Maseches Gittin about this haroma, and the Bavli never says a word that it's only by Ma'aseh Sheni. The Bavli assumes they can always do haroma. That's haroma. Perhaps one can distinguish. Maybe that's haroma to avoid fulfillment of a mitzvah. Because Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni is a mitzvah. V'haray Tosefes Chomesh is just lachatchilas, not miyakeh b'diyeved. So lachatchila b'diyeved only makes sense by mitzvahs. So maybe that's what Yerushalmi means to say. The only place that we permit haroma by a mitzvah is by Pidyon Ma'aseh Sheni levdosa b'lo chomesh. In any other case of the mitzvah, we wouldn't permit it. Maybe by the mechiras behemis for chometz by Pesach, it's a haram in order to avoid violation of an avera. I don't want to be in violation of getting hanor from chometz but Pesach. That's an avera. So as long as you avoid it by hook or by crook, the animal doesn't belong to you for Pesach, and the chometz doesn't belong to you for Pesach. It doesn't belong to you, even though it's a haram. You really want it. You don't really want to sell it to this next door neighbor, the non-Jew. You would rather keep ownership for yourself, but you don't want to violate out there. So it could be that there really isn't a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishon. The Nesiv is right. Don't bother me with Yerushalmis. The Bavli doesn't have such an idea, so we don't accept that. That's what he writes. Anyway, but this is a shaila. How do you deal with our Gemara? He did an avera that has nisa b'dei shamayim. So there the chaimish is kapar. But when you pay the hegdish that you yourself were magdish, I don't think he needs a kapar. What, the farmer was mafresh maisa sheni? So what, he didn't do anything wrong. He doesn't need a kapar. It's too heavy to transport to Yerushalayim. So the Torah gives him a break and allows him. He doesn't need a kapar. The chaimish by zar shachal truma b'shegeg, the Gemara says is a kapar. So this Gemara is problematic. This is questionable. The Doris Achranim, they did the Harama. Yeah. There is a Taisus that we must have mentioned. There is a Taisus in Menachas, but Taisus has 2 days about this. The Din mid the Rabbanon, that you're not permitted to eat Tevel Achilas Keva. So you suggest maybe this is before they made that Din the Rabbanon. Could be. Could be there were different Kufas historically, and he's commenting on before. Could be. Rabbi Loi was a Tana. Rabbi Barbachana was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Amar Rabbi Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Loi means that he didn't know him in person. Amar Rabbi Barbachana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan means Rabbi Barbachana heard directly from Rabbi Yechanan. But then it doesn't say Amar Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Yechanan never met Rabbi Loi. There was a gap. He died before he was born. He didn't hear from him. Mishum. Rashi writes another place. Mishum means that he didn't hear directly from him. So that's the question. When did the Tanoim introduce this din mid the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat Tevel Achilas Keva, even though it didn't have Rias Bnei Abayis? I mean, in the days of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, they didn't have it yet. Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi is talking about in earlier generations, they didn't have possibility. Got to check all the Gemaras to see, try to ascertain when the din the Rabbanon was instituted. Anyway, but there's a Tosfos in Menachas, but Tosfos has the following machlokes harishonim, machlokes bali atosfos. The din mid the rabbanon that you're not allowed to eat achilas keva. You're not permitted to eat achilas keva, even though you didn't have rias bnei abayis yet. You only had meruach. Does that only apply in a normal case when you had meruach and theoretically you could have had rias bnei abayis, except that you're eating the tevel now before you had a chance to? What if I already did Rias Pnei Abayis in a cockeyed fashion? I was machnas in the Tech Abayis Derech Gagois. So now, even if I'll take it out and bring it back in again, Derech Traximon, it won't be Chayiv. Once it's already in the Abayis, you can't say take it out and bring it back in a normal fashion. That'll be Rias Pnei Abayis. Or the more there talks about reversing the order. Minator, it's only tevel if you had first miruach and then rias bnei abayis. If machnisa b'motz shalom, if you bring in the tevel with the psolas, b'motz is the straw and all the stuff that grows along, all the psolas that grows along with the kernels of grain, and then you detach everything, so you have less than 10%, some of 1%, 3%, 3% of all of the volume of all the stuff is going to be edible, and all the rest is going to be thrown out and given to the behemoths to eat. So if you machnisa b'mot shalom, if you bring in the tevel rias bnei abayis together with the psolas, and then you do the miruach afterwards. Miruach means separating the echel from the psolas and putting it in a neat pile. So first you do rias bnei abayis and then you do miruach. So then you're not chayv min haTorah. So there's one opinion of Tosfos, since it's impossible, lovely the chiyav deraisa, so there isn't even an isa derabbanan of eating the tevel achilas keva. The only time there's an isa derabbanan is if you did miruach, and otot, all you have to do is do the next step, do haknos al abayis derech traksamon, it would become nischayev betevel betrumas amaisvis. So if you eat it before, if you eat achilas keva before that, that's awesome of the rabbanan. But if he did a stunt, he did the Rias Bnei Abayis before the Miruach, then there's no way in the world that he did the Rias Bnei Abayis Derech Kagos, and there's no way in the world that it could possibly become Mechuyav Min HaTorah. So then there isn't even an Iser at all. There isn't even an Iser Derabban. That's one opinion in Tosfos. So that's a shaila. What exactly did they do over here? They were Machnas Derech Kagos, Kedei Lefotram Min HaMaiser, Lefotram Mikol V'Kol. You can even eat achilas adam, achilas keva, or only kedei lefatron with respect to achilas haroi. So that would be the 2 days in Tosfos. The two opinions in the Tosfos and Menachos. Did they tell you to look in the Tosfos and Menachos? No? You gotta look. Mustama, somebody tells you to look in the Tosfos and Menachos. Mustama, if you look in the Hagos Halavush, he used to print the Hagos Halavush on the bottom of the page. So the Hagos Halavush in the back, he usually gives you cross references to Tosfos in, but Tosfos discusses the topic that's that appears on any given daf. And then when they put in the Ayin Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, when they put in Rabbi Kivega and all the things on the side, so they threw out the Levush, so they put him in the back. A lot of times he has very valuable Mar Makaymus. Nobody ever looks down the Hagos HaLevush. Because he never says anything, just using it cross-references. But his cross-references are very valuable. He's the first one there. The Hagos HaLevush is the first one. He always gives Mar Makaymus. Here, what daf are we? Lamine Helmet Base. Does he have anything? No. Doesn't have. Okay, didn't help. With the whole drasha, it didn't help. Okay. But the Rashba raises the issue. The Rashba assumes that this is for Achilas Behema. He assumes for Achilas Adam, you're not allowed to. Those are, depends on the two opinions in the Tosfos and Menachos, Berak Rabbi Shmuel. Rashba assumes it's for Achilas Behema. And then he says that this Harama that they did, and he assumes that for Achilas Behema is only Nisa de Rabbanon. Anosh al kilu is an isa de rabbanon. That's the machlokes that the Mishnah Melech quotes in Perek Yud Aleph, I think, in Hilchos Trumas, and he assumes that this is harama in order to avoid violation of an isa de rabbanon, implying as if to avoid violation of an isa de raisa we wouldn't allow harama. That's what the Bechot Sherov said. We only allow harama to avoid violation of an isa de rabbanon, not to avoid hanoah from chametz. Feeding chametz to your cows, that would have been in the normal course of events. That would have been. And he said, there is of getting hanor from chametz. I sell it to the goy, sell the chametz and the cow to the goy, and I give him instructions that that's a harama to avoid violation of an isa de rabbanon. So the Bechot Sherov said that, that's a harama in order to avoid violation of an isa de raisa. So he thinks that that's not allowed. And then others assume like that taisa simcharis that we started with. Harama to avoid an isa, that's hatagam. Harama to kill the possibility of fulfilling a mitzvah, that's what's not right. Anyway, haram is a big topic in Shas. There is a Mishnah in the Goyim that the Mishnah recommends a certain haram. A man is a Sufik Mitzora, Sufik Eina Mitzora. How is that possible? There's another question. How is it possible, Sufik Mitzora? So Tosfos said, Nozir Yes Kasha, it should be impossible. But whatever the Teretz is, the Rishonim give a Teretz. There are Mishnahs, a Sufik Mitzora, Sufik Eina Mitzora. And then he gets cured. Now for sure, the tzaras went away. And he has to bring karbonas. But it's a suffix. If he's mukhif, it's a suffix whether he ever was a mitzvah in the first place. So one of the karbonas that he brings is achatas. An oilo and ishlamim is bob ben edim and adova. Achatas is not bob ben edim and adova. So how can he bring the karbonas? So if he would have been an oni, the chatas would have been a chatas oif. So there's a pasuk, there's such a thing as chatas oif abo ala suffix. But if he's an Oshir and he doesn't bring Chatas Oif, he brings Chatas Behema, so then Chatas Behema is not Boal Asof. So the Mishnah says in such a case, we have a solution to his problem. Let him give away all of his money to somebody else, to a trusted friend who's not going to walk off with the money. Let him give away all of his wealth to someone else. And he became a poor man. He just made himself an Ani. Once he's an Ani, let him bring a Chatas Oif, a Boal Asof. And then after it's all over, then his friend will give him back all of the money. So the Mishnah is recommending. The Mishnah is teaching you how to do a harama. If he's Kozman, he's an Oshir, he's not really interested in giving away all his wealth. All of his lifetime he's been amassing all this money, so he's not interested in giving away b'matan. So that's clearly a harama. That's a harama in the area of a mitzvah. Yeah, but that harama in the area of the mitzvah has no brera. He has no other choice. He has to do like that. If he's not going to do that harama, he won't be able to bring the chatas at all. He'll remain tomei for the rest of his life. He has to do that harama. So that's a different story. That's like you said. That's what he says. Pruzbul is a harama. So we allow pruzbul because the alternative was that the people ra hilo shenimnu mila halbois and they were oif on the lav in the Torah. V'ra achicha beinecho heli and he doesn't want to give a halvot. So rather than allow, rather than have people violate an avera, so they said, let's make a harama. So if the harama is to fix the situation, to make it better, then we certainly would recommend the haroma. So that Mishnah for sure, that haroma has been so. And that Mishnah, in the end of Negoyim, maybe it's the last parak in Negoyim, so there's a long commentary on the side in the Mishnah, so it's called Mishnah Achreina, Antaris. The same author wrote on Zroim, that's called Mishnah Rishayna. And Antaris is the end, it's called Mishnah Achreina. So in the Mishnah Achreina, he has a long essay on that last parak in Negoyim about haroma. When do we permit haroma in mitzvahs? When do we not permit haroma in mitzvahs? Okay. Sometimes when Yimabish is stuck, the alternative is worse. So then we allow haroma and mitzvahs. The Gemara has such a haroma. The Gemara in the Dorim has. Let's say I rented my animal to a non-Jew, and the non-Jew is going to use the animal to work with it. And then I realize, what did I do? He's going to do malacha with my animal on Shabbos, and that's my violation of Shvisas Behemto. Mechamer is only if I make the animal work. Shvi says behemta, there are two different prohibitions. Mechamer acha behemta b'shabbos means if I make my animal work. Shvi says behemta means if my animal is being made to work by somebody, so that's my avera. So what can I do over here? The goy has my animal, it's in a different state, and it's Erev Shabbos, and I have no way to stop him. So the Gemara says, be mafke the animal. So it won't belong to you. But don't say it too loud, because the goy will find out that Yemafka. Don't call him up on the telephone, tell him Yemafka the animal. He's going to be Zeichem and a Hefke. He's not necessarily such a good friend of yours. He'll be Zeichem and a Hefke. So tell a couple of people over here that Yemafka your behemoth, because if you're not going to be Mafka the behemoth, you'll be in violation of Shvisis Behemto. So that's a harame in order to avoid violation of, there's really a mitzvah of Shvisis Behemto. It's a mitzvah of Shvisis Behemto, but he can't do anything about it. The goy has his behemoth, the goy is going to do malacha with the behemoth. So in order to avoid outright violation of the mitzvah, so the Gemara gives you an eitzah, be mafke the behemoth. Okay. So sometimes you have no choice. Yeah, you have to employ a harama. The alternative will be worse. Okay. So then we had the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that on all fruits that grow on a tree, say bar pi waits. Except for wine that you say bar pi agaf, and the fancier bracha. It sounds like Mika Redin, you really should have said bar pi ha'etz on wine, but it has a fancier bracha. Sounds like b'di'evit, if one would say bar pi ha'etz, it would have been good. If you say shahakol, one could have argued, no. If you say, the Mishnah says later, v'akulim ibir shahakol yotze. If you say shahakol on any food, you yotze. So Gemara has a machlekes. Does that apply to pas v'yayin, or does it only apply to all other foods other than pas v'yayin? So we pass from la'alocha, the Mishnah is on mem amar aleph. So the Gemara there on Amid Beis, I think, has a machlokes. Where's the Gemara? Has a machlokes amoraim. The al kulam and birch shahakol. Does that go even on pas v'yayin, or dafke on fruits and vegetables? So we pass can even pas v'yayin also. If you made a mistake and you said shahakol b'di'evad yoytzer, so you really should have said a bracha meferetas, a fancy bracha bar pi agafen. And b'di'evad said shakel is good. So you really should have said bar pi agofen, and b'di'evad said bar pi ha'etz should also be good, because the Mishnah sounds like the correct bracha should have been bar pi ha'etz chutz min ayayin, that they made a fancier bracha. So b'di'evad bar pi ha'etz should be good. That's a simple reading. So we had on Daf Yud Beis, there was a Taisus who assumed clearly on Yud Beis Amin Aleph, Rabbi Kivega points out that you see from the Taisus that if he made a mistake and he said bar pi ha'etz on wine, you're not yotze even b'di'evad. So he says it's a peladika taisvis, and he says quotes the tshuvas ginas v'rodim helali ikar diyotza ginas v'rodim pasukas against taisvis. The Magen Avraham doesn't quote taisvis. Magen Avraham quotes the Taz had a brother who wrote tshuvas. Tshuvas ri'a levi. The Taz was a levi. So his brother wrote Shuvas Ri'a Levi, so he says the same as Tosfos, that if you say Bar Pi Ha'etz on wine, you're not Yotze. And the Ginas V'Rodim disagrees with him, says that you are Yotze. That's Kivega thought, like the Ginas V'Rodim, that you are Yotze. That's the simple reading of our Mishnah. He really should have said Bar Pi Ha'etz on wine, but it's an exception to the rule, because they gave it a fancier bracha. And B'di'evet, if you would say Shahakal, you would be Yotze on the wine. So B'di'evet, it said Bar Pi Ha'etz, this should be better than Shahakal. He certainly should also be Yotze B'di'evet. And Shahakal is also Mishanim and Be'ez.
The second Shahakal for that, it seems.
Mean that was a takana. Birch shahakol yotze was a takana. Okay, okay. If you read the Mishnah like that, one could read the Mishnah differently. In Birch shahakol yotze, they never made a takana. It's just they made a takana. Also, lahanus manala mazeh b'lay brachi. Got to say birchas hanena. What's a birchas hanena shahakol? And then they said, but baruch Hashem yom yom. B'chol yom yom ten amein b'chosim Hashem make pirut. What's the pirut? Adama ha'eitz. And then some are even fancier than that. Some are mezainis and some are hamaitzi and some are even bar piagofen. Fancier. But if he said the basic bracha on the bottom of the totem pole, he said shakon, so you fulfill the basic takana.
Why would my
So the pashtus is the machlekes whether you yotze on pas v'yayin. If he said shahakol is like this. The bircha takon is bircha sanen and you are yotze. If you said on pas v'yayin shahakol, everybody agrees that you would be yotze. But one opinion held, we don't pass like that. One opinion held, even though you yotze mitam the takon of bircha sanen, but because they made a special takon to say bar piagof and you're not yotze that takon. You yotze the takon of also the hanus menala mazeh b'lay bracha. And if you'll say shahakol on the bread of the wine and you'll eat it, that you'll drink the wine with the shahakol, you will not be in violation of Asa Lahanis B'lai Bracha, but you will be in bitul, in violation of the special takana of saying that special bracha. That special bracha, amoitzi, and Bar Piagofen is recited not only B'Torah Asa Lahanis B'lai Bracha, it's a psanu takana. So that's what that mandama held. And we paskin not so, we paskin that the Bar Piagofen with amoitzi is also a chelik of the mizgeret of Birchas Hanenen. So if you were yotze Birchas Hanenen with the shahako, because that's the basic takana, so there's no need to say another bracha. The pashtus says that's what the Gemara means. Let's say a person is in the middle of a meal. So the Gemara says, Dvarim haboy machmas hasud is all covered with the hamotzi that he said in the beginning of the meal, except for wine. The person wants to drink wine in the middle of the meal, I say another bracha. So why is that? If he has orange juice, if he has grapefruit juice, if he has water, coffee, tea, any other mashke, it's covered with hamotzi. And if he wants to drink wine, it's not covered with hamotzi. So perhaps the answer is, that's why Rashi sounds like he says, and like Mar, perhaps the answer is, the Bar Piagofen is also covered with Amoitz. If he'll drink wine in the middle of the meal, he won't say Bar Piagofen, he will not be in violation of Asa Lahanis Menal Mazeb Lai Bracha. He will be in Bittal of the special Takana, that whenever you drink wine, you got to say, fancy Shmensi Bracha, Shevach to the Rabban Shalom. But it's not that he has to say the Bar Piagofen, Matoris Bichas Anen. That's what the Gemara says, Shekein Kaveh Bracha Li Atzmai. So Rashi says, when you say Kiddush or Havdalah, or you say Bichas Hamazon Alakos, so you're getting married, Bichas Eris and Bichas Nisuin, you got to say Bar Piagofen, even though you're not interested in drinking wine. If Bar Piagofen would have only been a Bichas Hanenin, so you would only be Mechuyv to say Bar Piagofen if you're interested in drinking wine. But the Chachamim required of us to say Bar Piagofen even in an instance where you're not interested in drinking wine, in order to enhance the Hashivas of the Kiddush. So you see that Bar Piagofen serves another role, so it's a double role. Number one, you're drinking wine in the middle of the day, so you got to say Bar Piagofen, and then if you're drinking wine in the middle of a meal, it is covered. The wine, mitam birchas hanenim, is really covered with the hamaitzi, like orange juice, like apple juice, but it's a new takana, that you got to say Bar Piagofen, a separate shevach. So that's al pi pashtus, the pshat over here. The one who holds chutz min apas min ayayin, the one who holds Rafuna, Machlekes Rafuna, Rabbi Yechon, on the top of Mem on the base, four lines from the top. Hakulam imam shakol yotzah, so Machlekes Rafuna, Rabbi Yechon, is pas v'yayin different or not? So the pashtus, one could say, what does Rashi say? Chutz min apas min ayayin kidi amina lekamon. Like the Gemara says later, that's the Gemara later says it in the context of chutz min ayayin, wine in the middle of a meal. If you drink wine, if you drink any other beverage in the middle of the meal, it's covered with hamotzi. Except for yayin, so why is it different there? Why should it be different here? Shegorim brachas harbeli atzma with kiddush avdola or with birchas chasan. And that's what Rashi says, that sometimes you say bar piagofen even they're not really interested in drinking the wine. The chachamim amasak and bar piagofen with another with an additional aspect. Anyway, machlekes achrayim. That's what Rabbi Kivega quotes on Daf Yud Beis Amaral. Machlekes achrayim. The simple reading of this Gemara, the simple reading of this Mishnah, sounds like
you would be yotze with bar prihuetz on the wine. Why is wine singled out? All the other fruit juices, you don't say bar prihuetz. All the fruit juices, you say shakol niye bitvaroi. You just had the Gemara. Where was the Gemara? Hi. On Dvash. Here, 10 lines on the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Yom HaMabar Avashi, by the tiny letter, Dalet Haidub Sheh Detamim Mevachan Elav Shehakol Nibed V'Amai Taim Zeh Bialmu. The Gemara has that expression, Zeh Bialmu, and other Mesichtas. The Gemara comments on that Mishnah and Trumas that they quote. There is a Machlekes Satanoim. If you have fruits that are orlo, and you squeeze out the juice and you drink the juice, do you get malchus for drinking it? So it says, Machlekes Ablezin Rabbi Yeshua. So Ablezin says you get malchus on drinking any fruit juice where the fruits were orlo. And we pass like Rabbi Yeshua. We rarely pass like Ablezin in general. Ablezin Shamutihu. He was from the Beis Shammai. So we pass like Rabbi Yeshua over here. That only Mashkema Yotzim and Azeisim and Minu Anovim retain the status of pri. That's wine, grape juice, wine, and olive oil. And all the other mashkema yotzim is considered zeh bialma. It's not considered pri. So that's why mashkema yotzim and azeisim and anovim, you should really say bari pri ha'etz on it. But on wine, they gave it a fancier bracha, bari pri ha'gof, and a unique bracha. But the evidence said bari pri ha'etz, the pashtus is like Rabbi Kevega quoted it, you should be yotzim b'di evidence. And a mashkema yotzim mishar peiris that does not have a shem pri, on that you say shahakal niya b'dvara. So that's why the Gemara, based on this din, from Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, that's the Gemara here on Lamed Hei Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Shem and Zayis should be the same. Mashkem HaYotzim and HaZayis and Adam should be the same. So you should really say, Bar Pihuetz on the Mashkem HaYotzim Min HaZayisim. Olive oil. What do you mean? A guy has a bottle of olive oil, says Bar Pihuetz, and he drinks it. The Gemara says, that's ridiculous. Ozuke Mazikle. It tastes awful. And you don't say Bar Pihuetz. So what bracha do you say? The guy's drinking a bottle of Shem HaZayis. So that's a machlekes Rashi in the Rambam. When the Gemara says Azuki Mazikle, so Rashi writes, Enzo Achille Shetuna Bracha. The Gabi Bracha Ve'achalta Ksiv. This is abnormal. No bracha is recited at all. Yeah. Abnormal doesn't knock out the bracha completely. If you eat some food in an abnormal fashion, let's say you eat raw potatoes. So the Gemara says on the next daf, Amar Rav Masna Amar Shmuel, about 20 lines from the top of Lamed Vav and Med Aleph, and there's a tiny letter Vav. Akara Chaya. You're eating, Chaya means raw, didn't cook. Akara, some kind of vegetable. I don't know, let's say raw potatoes. Eat raw potatoes. Raw potatoes are shahakal, because it's abnormal. The Kimcha de Sire. If you make barley grain, and you make flour from it, so that's not normal, to eat flour made from barley grain. So the bracha shahakal nimidvar. Whenever you eat anything in an abnormal fashion, so the Gemara says not, it's irregular. So then you say shakal nimidvar, the bracha is knocked down to shakal. Shaila is maybe, we mentioned that some of the Gedolim in Europe had a suffix where they say bracha when you drink soda or water through a straw. Why? Because the Gemara in Saita has a suffix. It says you should give the maim hamarim to the Isha Saita and she should drink. After you erase the Megillah Saita, so she should drink for the Maim Hamarim. It has a little ink in it, so it doesn't taste so good. It has a little Karka Hamishkin in it. It doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous, so she should drink. So the Gemara has a suffix, if Ishka Derech Shoferes, are you Yotze or not? So the Gedolim raised it, and the Gemara is in a Bayim Leib Shita. It's a suffix. So they said, since it's a suffix, maybe it's Shlok Derech Shtia, then maybe you can't say a bracha. So they said, whenever you want to drink through a straw, you should first drink directly, and then the rest you should say a bracha, and then the rest you should drink with the straw. So we just pointed out, if it would have been Shaloka Derech Shtia, if you would have said, based on the Gemara, Shaloka Derech Shtia, so you wouldn't say a bracha at all. The Pashta says it would knock it down to Shahaka, like this Gemara, if you eat Karachaya, you eat Kimcha Desire, eat something in an abnormal fashion, so you say Shahaka. So probably there also, if you hold that drinking through a straw is considered Shaloka Derech Shtia, so the bracha should be shahakal. No, they're talking about water or soda. Anyway, you say shahakal. It's not talking about drinking wine. That it should have been bar piagofen. See, you have a suffix. If you drink through a straw, does it retain the bracha bar piagofen? They're talking about drinking water. They used to drink mineral water. The only time they used the straw, they used to drink mineral water at the spas through a straw. So water is water, it's shahakal anyways. It can't go further, lower than shahakal, it can't go. What if a person, shalok yederach achilosa, shalok yederach shliyosa, is a concept in macholas asuras. The Gemara says, Msochim, if a person eats treif of food, shalok yederach achilosa, so it's mutam in atar. There's no isa deraisa. And the Shach quotes an opinion, Shach paskins la'aloch, it's even mutam in the rabbanon. There isn't even an isa derabbanon. Others disagree, they hold, no, the Shach Gesai holds there is an Issa Derabbanan. And the Shach Paskins like this, Rav Yoah, there isn't even an Issa Derabbanan. If you eat Macholas HaSur, Shalok Derech Achilas. So let's say, what's an example of Macholas HaSur, Shalok Derech Achilas? Let's say someone just fried ham and eggs. Burning hot, if you eat it now, you'll burn your tongue. So the Meshuggah eats it now. According to the Shach, it's Mutta Lachatchil. Het the Gomi, you don't even have to be sick. It's Mutta even for a Bori. To eat Shalok Derech Achilas, it's Het the Gomi. Or let's say you have some ham in the freezer, it's hard like a rock. No one eats it when it's hard like the ice cubes. The guy takes it and he's eating it, he's breaking his teeth. Eating it when it's ice cold. Shaloka derech achilosan. So it's mutam and atar. The shachol is mutam and the rabbanon. Shach might say there isn't even an isa the rabbanon. You don't even have to be a chayla to be allowed to eat. So that would that be the same thing over here also? That if a guy eats delicious kosher food, burning hot or ice cold. So you're going to say also, the bracha is knocked down to shahakol. Let's say it's cookies. And he eats cookies that are hard like a rock. Abnormal to eat cookies like that. Or burning hot. They just bake the cookies, they take it out of the oven, it's going to burn his tongue. He knows he's going to burn his tongue. I'm sure going to. So he eats it, shalok kederach achilosa. So is that also included in the Gemara? Or the Gemara only say this kind of shalok kederach achilosa with the maichel, there's something missing in the maichel, karachaya. Raw potatoes, raw vegetables, and no normal person eats the food like that. There's something wrong with the food. Here it's ice cold, there it's burning hot. There's nothing really wrong with the food. Under the circumstances, you would need it. Is it also knocked down to shahakol? Maybe, yeah. I don't know.
Right, Kaisis is talking about good food, about burnt oats.
The Gemara says a Tosef in the middle of Laman Zayin and Aleph, smack in the middle. Tanya Tosef to Perek Dalet, it says Akoises Achita Mavarcha Le'abar Pri Adama. So Rashi says the word Koses has the connotation of eating in an abnormal fashion. And you still say Hu Adama. That means not so abnormal.
There you see that it's a function of the Hefzer. It's not a function of the Derech. Rashi says, Kol Dov Shodimot Shalek Darek Nikri Ksis.
Yeah.
And nevertheless, you make a bracha. Or maybe, the bracha is not Mezainis. One step down.
The fancy bracha mezainis was only instituted in special case, like a fancy bracha amotzi. So you leave it on the ho'adoma. It's a ho'adoma. It's not yet elevated to the level of the mezainis. Yeah. But the fact you're asking, why does it say ho'adoma? Why doesn't it say shahakol? It should go down to shahakol. If koisis means kol dov shodem echol shlok derech achilosai, so if it's shlok derech achilosai, it should be knocked down to shahakol. So it could be it doesn't mean that it's so abnormal. I mean, it says a little irregular. Sechel, the dictator, she really grind up the chita to make wheat out of it and make cake or cookies out of it. He enjoys eating the kernels of grain the way they are. Maybe it's not that abnormal. If it would have been abnormal, taka would have been shahakal. It would be knocked down to shahakal. So if you eat something in an abnormal fashion, then the bracha says, then the Gemara says that the bracha is shahakal. That's the Gemara on Laman Vav and Menalaf. If you eat karachaya by the tiny letter Vav, Amar Abmas Amar Shmuel. If you eat karachaya, raw vegetable, a kara, or you eat kimcha desairi, that kind of flour, the bracha shahakol because it's irregular. So the shaila over here is, if you drink a bottle of olive oil, so the Gemara says, it's not going to be bar pi who ate, it's ozuke mazikle. So what bracha is it? So the Rambam says it's knocked down to shahakol because it's irregular, it's abnormal. It's very abnormal. No one does that. That's crazy. And Rashi says it's worse than that. Rashi says if you eat something and you enjoy it, but it's abnormal way of eating, shalok derech achilas is lower than whatever the bracha should have been, the bracha is lower down to shahakol. But if you're eating something that's azuke mazikle, then you don't even say a bracha at all. Like this Rashi in the Ra. Ein zvachila shetuna bracha. The gabi bracha v'achal taksid. You only say a bracha if it's achila. This is azuke mazikle. This and it doesn't count at all. Where they get this concept of azuke mazikle that you're eating food? The food is not called nifsam achila. A bottle of olive oil is not nifsam achila. Just you're eating it in a fashion that it's azuke mazikle. But the olive oil is not nifsam achila. So the Gemara quotes a tosefta from Trumas. What's the din? Azar shachal truma b'mezid violated an aver that has a punishment on misa b'dei shamayim. So therefore, azar shachal truma b'shoigeg needs a kapara. So the chumish says he has to give kerem chumish, and the chumish is for kapara. That's how the Gemara says. Chumish gives the kapara for the avera of azar shachal truma b'mezid that the owner should have been misa b'dei shamayim. So the Gemara in Shabbos makes such a comparison. Round off ayin aleph, the Gemara says in Shabbos that chaimish is to the misa b'dei shamayim of zar shachal truma, just like chatas is to kares by all the chavi krisis. If a person violates an isa kares b'shogi, he has to bring a chatas for kapara. So here the zar shachal truma b'shogi he has to give. So that's only if the zar was ochal truma. Truma is normally nitan. You look in the Rambam Hilchas Truma, so he says truma is supposed to be consumed by the kohanim. Whatever zaymed lachila should be eaten by the kohanim. Whatever zaymed l'shtia, the kohanim should drink. Whatever zaymed l'sicha, the kohanim should smear as oil. Let's say you're going to have wine, yayin shel truma. The kohen is going to take a bath. He needs a shower, so he's going to take tons of. He has too much wine. And he doesn't like getting drunk. He's going to use the wine to wash his hair, to wash his body. So that's a violation of Mishmeres Trumaisa. He's using the Truma in an abnormal fashion. Usually when the Kohen eats the Truma, so he says a bracha. Let's say he drinks wine of Truma. So he says Burpi Agofen. Then he says Asher Kedushon Abik Dushos Ushalam Tzivon of Alachilas Truma. Yeah, but if he's gonna drink a bottle of olive oil he's supposed to use for Sicha. Or olive oil is supposed to use as a salad dressing. You pour it into food, or you pour it on top of vegetables. You don't drink a bottle of olive oil like that. So in such a case, the kohen not only does he not say the bracha shekudushana b'kedusha shalom etzivanu al achilas truma, and he drinks the olive oil, he's not allowed to do it. That's a violation of mishmeres truma. So that's called ibud hatruma. He's not allowed to consume the truma. Shalokim mitzvahs in an abnormal fashion. The Rambam says there are three acceptable forms of consuming the truma de kohanim. Either whatever zaymer l'achila, he should do achila. Whatever zaymer l'shtia, he should do shtia. Whatever zaymer l'sicha, he should do sicha. If you're going to use wine for sicha, you're going to use shemen zayis for shtia, that's a violation of mishmeres. You're not allowed to do that. So the Mishnah says in Trumas, what if a zar did like that? A zar shoch al truma b'shoigeg needs to give Kerem B'chaymesh because it needs a kapar. If he would have done it amazing, it would have been Chaymesh with Eshamayim. So the Tzar is only Chayev Chaymesh if he drinks wine Shal Truma B'Shegeg, or if he does Sicha on the Shemen Shal Truma. If he does Sicha on the wine, or if he does Shti on the Shemen, so he's Chayev Keren because he's a Mazik, he's a Gazlan, whatever, it's not his, it belongs to the Shevet Kuhuna. But he doesn't do Tosefes Chaymesh. The Tosefes Chaymesh is only if he consumed it in a normal fashion. Yeah, this halacha that we say, that hasach, that there are three different forms of consuming the truma, aydei kohanim, either achil shti or sicha, so the Gemara calls this a maseches nida. The Gemara formulates a statement that this is sicha kishtia. The Torah says that the truma is supposed to be eaten by the kohanim. So if you have truma, wine truma, so we say shtia is bechlal achila. Shtia is included. So either some truma should be eaten, and some truma the kohen should drink. And then we have a rule that sicha kishtia. Sicha. Shtia is bechlal achila, and sicha is bechlal shtia. So therefore, when the Torah says that the truma should be eaten, so it means all three forms, three different forms of eating. One is eating, one is drinking, one is shmiring. So the Gemara says sicha kishtia. Gemara makes the statement Sicha Kishtia also in the end of Maseches Yuma regarding Yom Kippur, and we have Chamisha Inuyim that are prohibited. Achila Shtia is one, and then you have another four. So the Gemara says in the Dorim, It's very strange. In Yuma, the Gemara never says it. In the end of Nedarim, the Gemara says, if one violates Yom Kippur, Kol HaNefesh, Shalosh Se'unah, V'Nichrasah, so the Gemara says that the chorus of violating the Inuim is only an Achidah Shtiyah, and if one violates the other Inuim, there isn't any chorus. So that's the question that Tosis raises, how are you supposed to understand that? If all the Chamisha Inuim are Ro Min HaTorah, so how did you split between the two, that only this one has chorus and the other four don't have chorus? So Tosis says that's a dead giveaway, that all the Chamisha Inuim are only Medir Rabbanon. Only Achidah Shtiyah is an Issa Deraisa, and the others are only an Asmachta Medir Rabbanon. The Rambam seems to disagree. The Bach points out, you read the Rambam, the simple reading of the Rambam is that it's an Issa Deraisa all the Chamisha Inuim. Some of them have chorus and some of them don't have chorus. Take for example, the Torah has a prohibition against eating dam. Whoever eats dam is chayv chorus. The Gemara says only dam shahaneshama yotzebo. Dam hakos is shahaneshama yotzebo. When you shecht an animal, kill an animal, shecht an animal, whatever, so the animal is going to die because of the lack of the blood circulation is going to collapse. So the Gemara says you can tell first. When you cut your body, a little bit of blood comes out, you're not going to drop dead. You'll reach a certain point that already too much blood went out. And the next blood is what the next Yitzias Adam, that blood is going to kill you. Then you reach the point, you're already dead. So much blood went out, you're already going to die. And the blood keeps on coming out. So the last blood, you're not chayv koris for. The first blood, you're not chayv koris for. It's an Issa Deraisa, to eat dam. You only chayv and dam in the capillaries. Dam, let's say you have a piece of meat, and you didn't salt it. So that's not dam shanashama yotzebo. There's an isa deraisa to eat that dam. You have to salt the behem, you have to salt the flesh. Now that I take a piece of meat and squeeze out all the blood and drink it. The goyim consider it very healthy. So in the slaughterhouses, they always like to drink the blood. Dam shanashama yotzebo. So we're not allowed to drink that blood. So if you drink the blood, dam shanashama yotzebo, that is chiv koris. If you drink the dam ha'ivarim, if you didn't salt the meat, then you drink the dam ha'ivarim, it's an isa deraisa, there's no karis. So the Rambam has a precedent, you have an isa dam, some of the dam has karis, some of the dam does not karis. You're going to tell me the dam that does not karis, I raya that it's only midirabbanon? No. It's all minatorah, and part of the isa has karis, part of it does not karis. So the Rambam holds it's not a pela on Yom Kippur, you say that the kol ha'nefesh shalosh se'una, v'inisim esnaf shesecha means five things. Then kol ha'nefesh shalosun only goes the v'nichris, so the chorus is only on achil shtia, doesn't go on the others. So this is a machlekes whether the chamish inuim ad deraisa derabban. Taisus shita is that sicha kishtia is only midirabban. Taisus holds all the other four inuim are only midirabban. Iber the Gemara says sicha kishtia, it's nilas asandal has nothing to do with achil shtia, rechitza has nothing to do. What about sicha kishtia? So if sicha is kishtiya, so shtiya is a din deraisa. The Taisa says the whole concept of sicha kishtiya is only with the Rabbanon. It's not minatar. The whole sicha kishtiya, it's only with the Rabbanon. It was only introduced in two locations, and that's all. Only here by Yom Kippur you say sicha kishtiya, and by the Tzar who soch shemesh al truma, it's an isa de Rabbanon. We wouldn't give him malchus. If a Tzar eats truma or drinks a glass of wine that's truma, so the Tzar will get malchus. But if the Tzar shmears oil, shemesh al truma, we won't give him malchus. We'll give him malchus marvus and rabbana maybe. But he didn't violate any sederaisa. That's the Tosfos shita. Sicha kishtiya is only the rabbana. And that's number one. Then number two, they say it was only introduced in these two places. That's all. Only by Yom Kippurim and by truma. And then they say number three, it only applies to shemen. If it's in a solid state, then you don't say sicha kishtiya. That's why the Ramah writes in Hilchah Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a bar of soap on Shabbos, because it's a malacha of memachek. The original memachek is when you shecht an animal, that's an isa hashochet. Then when you skin the animal, that's an isa hamafshit. When you remove the hide from the animal, that's an isa mafshit. Then when you take the raw hide and you remove all the stuff on the back, let's say you remove the hair on the front, you remove the hair on the front. On one side there's seir and on one side there's basar. So you move all the hair in the front and you make it smooth. So that's an isur of memachek. I have a rough surface and I make it smooth by removing all the junk that's causing it to be rough. But let's say you have a piece of wood that's rough and you take sandpaper and you rub it down. So you're removing the rough part and thereby you make it smooth. So that's an isur, that's a malacha deraisa of memachek. So the Ramah says, achidish, There are some who disagree, but it's usually assumed la halacha like the Ramah. If you have a bar of soap that is smooth, and you're going to wash on Shabbos, you're going to use the bar of soap, so you're going to use off a layer of soap. You're going to take off a 16th of an inch of soap. May not be able to see it right now that it shrank or got a little smaller, but everybody knows that that's the case. You use a bar of soap 50 times, it disappears. So where did it disappear to? The answer is every time you use a bar of soap, you're removing a layer of soap. So after using it many, many times, it's just going to disappear. You use it up. So you're making a new smooth surface. You started off with a smooth bar of soap, and by using the bar of soap, you're making a new smooth surface by removing part of the stuff. So the Ramah writes that that's an Isra Memachik, even though it wasn't a rough surface that you made smooth by removing something. It was a smooth surface, but I made a new smooth surface by removing a 16th of an inch of a layer of the soap. So the Ramah writes that that's Memachik, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, but on the weekdays you're permitted to use a bar of soap. What's the Chiddush? Of course you're allowed to use a bar of soap on the weekday. So he says, no, the weekdays you're allowed to use a bar of soap, even though the expensive soaps have chelev in them. So chelev is muta bahano. Chelev is only also b'achila. It's a pasuk in chumash. The chelev nevela, the chelev trefu ye yaseh l'chol malocha v'yachol lo sachlu. So the pasuk says beferish that chelev is muta bahano. So what's the chiddush? The Ramah says no. There are those who would tell me that sicha kishtia, that if you're rubbing the bar of soap with the chelev in your hand, and you're rubbing the soap on the hand, so I should say that that's an iser of shtia. And shtiyah bechlal achila, so that should be a violation of eating the chelev. So kamashma on the Ramah, that's muta. He says so, despite the fact that it has chelev, you don't say sichik yishtiyah, because Taisa says sichik yishtiyah only applies by Yom Kippur and by Zashach al Truma, and it doesn't apply to chelev. And then he says number two, Taisa says number two, it only applies to shem and it doesn't apply to a salad thing. You don't apply sichik yishtiyah. And the Vilna Goin there disagrees. He wants to be machmer against that taisa. He thinks he should be choshesh, that you shouldn't use a bar of soap, the expensive bars of soap have chelev in them. You shouldn't use it because maybe sichik yishtiyah applies even to shari surim, and it even applies if it's not shem. The Mishnah Brura writes in the Hakdameh to the Mishnah Brura that he's always going to point out what is the opinion of the Vilna Goin, because we live in a generation where a lot of people like to follow the Vilna Goin shita. He wanted to follow the Vilna Goin shita. But he didn't want to tell everybody that he does. He says he knows that there are a lot of Goyen fans and they want to follow. They want to know what the Vilna Goyen has to say about everything. So he's always going to record it. So he quotes that the Vilna Goyen is machmer over here. He's not saying la halacha, that's the din. He's saying the Vilna Goyen is machmer. I remember when the stipula passed away, so one of the maspidim at the funeral, the only maspid was Rav Blazer Shach. But then in the middle of Shiva, they had haspidim in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. In the middle of the summer, so I was outside in the chotzer of the yeshiva. So one of the maspidim was this Rabbi Horowitz, who was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who published 5 volumes of stories of the stipler. So he was telling stories there by the Hespin. So he said the stipler was always machmir; he would never use soap. Whenever he would bathe, he never used soap because he was always concerned that maybe it has chelev in it, and it was machmir like the Vilna Goin sheet. He was telling all the midas chasidus of the stipler. So Rabbi Akiva Eger HaMishnayis is bothered with the kasha. According to Tosis's opinion, that Sicha Kishti is only Midi Rabbanon, on the level of the Raisa, there is no such thing. So how do we allow the Koyin to use the Shemin Shel Truma for Sicha purposes? On the level of the Raisa, he's wasting it. Sicha, what he's supposed to, the Truma is supposed to be used for Achilo Shtiyah. Not supposed to use it to polish the floor. So how do we permit the coin to use it for sicha purposes of sicha kishti? It's only midi rabban. It should be an isra mishmeres trumais. And the Mishnah say beferish that the kohenim are allowed. Adarab, the kohenim are allowed to use the shemen for sicha purposes. And a zar who's going to shmir is chayiv chaimish. You could have saved the oil for cooking purposes. You could have eaten it.
But it's mishmet, it's the derech to use the oil for sicha.
Other oil.
They had the sicha kishtiyah to be matir. That's the derech. That's what you do with it.
Yeah, but the derech is to use oil to for a motor also in an automobile. Sometimes you pour oil, I think. You use oil for other things also. To oil the floor or something, but you're not allowed to use shemesh al chumah for that. Because chumah is supposed to be only achila shtiyah. So why do we say achila shtiyah v'sicha? Because sicha kishtiyah. The Rebbe Kevegev asked, but if Tosis is going to tell me sicha kishtiyah is only with the Rabbanon, so how does he have a right to use the sicha? Should be a violation of Mishmeres Trumais. So Rav Velbel Soloveitchik, in the end of his Sefer on the Rambam, they printed a few letters. So one of the letters addresses this kasha of Rabbi Kevega on the Mishnayos. So he says, what Tosis said, that sicha kishti is only with the Rabbanon, there is such a statement in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, we're not so sure about sicha kishti. So therefore, a zar who drinks wine of truma, who eats peiros of truma, gets malchus, because he violated the iser achila. But a zar who will be soch shemesh al truma would not get malchus because we're not so convinced. We're not so sure that sicha is kishtiya. But Rav Velbel says that means we're not convinced that it's a maisa shtiya, that it's a violation of the law of a zar eating truma. But like you said, the nitan lemitzvasa is for those purposes. We do say that sicha kishtiya. The purposes of violating the law. Then we say we're not so. Yerushalmi says we're not so convinced that sicha kishtiya is a sofik. Tyson says like this: it's only by the rabbanon. Yerushalmi says a sofik. So misofik we won't give malchus. But for declaring what the imid lemitzvasa is, so there everybody agrees that sicha is kishtiya. And the Tzar is only chayiv. So why is the Tzar chayiv if he does sicha? The Tzar is chayiv chaymesh because if he would have done a mameis, he needs a kapar. If he would have done a mameis, it would have been misa v'dei shemaim. So now that he violated b'shag, he needs a kapar. So if the Tzar would have had sicha kishtiyo, he would have been chayiv misa v'dei shemaim. That's a chiddush. He would have been chayiv misa v'dei shemaim. Even though malchus, no, we're not so convinced that there's malchus for the law purposes, but for the misa b'dei shemayim of a zar shoach al truma, so then we say yes, sicha kishtiya, yes. If it would have been a suffix, we should say I'm to mechaber olav arayi. What? You shouldn't have to pay the chaymesh. What do you do if you have a suffix chaymesh? You pay or you don't pay? The Mishnah says if a zar is shoach shemesh al truma, mishal misakem, mishal misachaymesh. So how can you Yerushalmi say that it's a suffix? Why shouldn't you say a suffix b'mayin o lekula? Maybe that's not a kasha. The Tosfos in Ksubis and Daf Chav Tes on the base divides all chiyuvim mamon into three categories. There's mamon and there's knas and there's a third category of kapara. Like paying the chaymesh over here is kapara. So Tosfos gives you a list of nafkaminis ledina. What's the difference between mamon and knas? And the Gemara says, "Moedib knas is pata. Moedib mamon is ardas badin kameidim dami. You have to pay. Moedib knas is pata." So we know a difference between Mammon and Knas. What are the differences, if any, between Kapara on the one hand and Mammon and Knas on the other hand? So Tosfos gives a whole list of six Nafkaminas. So one of the Nafkaminas that Tosfos writes is that Sofik. When you have a Sofik, Bamayna Lakula, the Mukhsa keeps the money. But even if giving the money is a mitzvah, like Pigyan Aben, giving the money is a mitzvah, so the Gemara in the Sugya of Tokfu Kain, in the first parak in Bab Metzia Davov, the Gemara quotes Mishnayis from Chorvis like that. That Sofik Pidyon HaBen, you don't pay. But if you have a Sofik regarding paying a kapara, the Tosfos says, Sveiko Lahachmed, that's like a Sofik Deraisa Lechumra. Because the paying of money as a kapara, it's not a Chiyah Ben Orem Lachaveiro. Mammon and Knas is Ben Orem Lachaveiro. Not only Mammon, even Knas is also Ben Orem Lachaveiro. But kapara is not really Ben Orem Lachaveiro. I have to give the money to somebody, but it's not considered a Chiyah Ben Orem Lachaveiro. He has no right to be Tavea Mitua Din Torah. I need a kapara, so I have to give money to somebody. But it's not really ben adam chavera. So if it's not ben adam chavera, so the whole concept of muchzok doesn't apply. So maybe the Mishnah really means that it's a sofik. You can't prove from the Mishnah the fact that the zar shesoch shemesh al truma is chayv to pay mishalem es achaymish does not necessarily prove that the Mishnah assumes that it's b'toras vada. Maybe the Yerushalmi is right that sicha kishtiya, the topic of sicha kishtiya, is a sofik. Whether it's such a din or not, Sofik deraisa, and misafik the zar pays. Misafik the zar pays. Maybe that's the answer. But Rav Avila writes differently. He says the Yerushalmi says that it's a suffix by the Sikha Kishtiya, that's when he get to the law, but the Kiyum Mitzvasai of the Truma it certainly is, not like Rabbi Kevege. That the Shemen Shal Truma Zaymed L'Sikha, Yain Shal Truma Zaymed L'Shtiya, and Macholam Av Truma Zaymed L'Achila, and Shemen Shal Truma Zaymed L'Sikha, and the Zarshe Ochal, or she shosa or she soch, the truma is chayv to be meisiv chaymish is because of the bitl mitzvasa. Only if he does the bitl mitzvasa, the kohen should have done this. The kohen should have eaten the truma that's nitan lachid. The kohen should have drank the yain shal truma that's ayman lashtei. The kohen should have been sochid. So if the zar does what the kohen should have done, he does the bitl mitzvasa. So that's when the zar is chayv the chaymish. That makes misa b'der shemaim. That makes chaymish. In order to get malchus, you have to actually violate a law of eating. So sich kishtiyah is a suffix in the Yerushalmi, whether it's called shtiyah or not. If it's shtiyah, so shtiyah b'chlal achila. But if sich is not kishtiyah or not. But in order to be chayiv choymesh, in order to be chayiv misa b'dei shemayim, you don't need that he should violate an iser achila shtiyah. Even if sich is lav kishtiyah, he was mevatul the mitzvasa shalat truma. It's oymed le mitzvasai al yidei ha-kohen. So if the Tzar does a bitl mitzvah, he does what the kohen should have done. Just like the kohen is not allowed to drink the shemesh al truma, he's not allowed to use wine to wash his body. So the Tzar, if the Tzar will use the shemesh al truma for drinking purposes, and he'll use the yain shal truma for washing the body purposes, the Tzar will not be chayv chaymesh. The Tzar will only be chayv chaymesh. And misa b'dei shamayim, if he does the bitl mitzvah in the same way the kohen should have done the mitzvah. That's what Rav Avila Soloveitchik says. We mentioned there is such a Taisus in Gittin. Taisus talks about the possibility of a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. An eved shel kohen also eats truma. What if the fellow is a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin? So Taisus considers the possibility that he's allowed to eat truma. So the Marshoa asks a kasha on Taisus, how can he be allowed to eat truma? He's a chatzi ben chorin. Chatzi ben chorin is a zar. The chatzi eved is an eved shel kohen. Okay? But the Chatzah ben Chorin is a Zar. How can Taisus entertain such a possibility? Taisus is interpreting a Gemara like that. How is that Shaya? Rabbi Yosef Engel has a Sefer, Chosin Yosef, Ha'oris Ha'an Emanezer, where he comes to answer that Kasha. So he thinks that the Isser of a Zar eating Truma is because he's doing Bitl Mitzvasai. But if he's an Eved Shal Kohen, he's a Chatzi Eved, Chatzah ben Chorin, he's an Eved Shal Kohen. So the amount that he ate is not a bitl mitzvah. He's an eved shel kohen. So even though he's also a zar at the same time, if a zar could eat truma and by doing so there wouldn't be a bitl mitzvah, so then it would have been mutter. So he says that's what you have: a chatzi eved v'chatzi ben chorin. The zar is eating truma; he's a chatzi ben chorin. But by his eating truma, the chatzi eved shel kohen is eating the truma. So that's not a bitl mitzvah. So he said that's why taisus is not so tamua. That's Lachari Sif and this Tosefta, what the Gemara quotes over here, four lines from the bottom. The Zar is Chayim Misa B'dei Shamayim, if he does the bitl mitzvah Shalat Truma in the same way the Kohen should have done. Or the Gemara says in the last parak in Yuma, what if the Zar eats Truma Achila Gasa? So the Gemara says he's not Chayiv to give Chaymash. Chayv Karen, it's not his. He stole it. He's mazik. He's gozel, but it's not chayv to be moisiv chamish because achila gasa lav shma achila. So the Gemara says achila gasa lav shma achila for the zar shachal truma. He doesn't give chamish, and the Gemara says it benegay to Yom Kippurim. So the Taisus generalizes from that Gemara. Taisus abstracts and is saying kol haTorah kula when yid achila gasa doesn't count. And you're not yotzei Korban Pesach, and you're not yotzei Matzah, you're not any mitzvah sachila and any aveira. Achila gasa just doesn't count. And the Karenara points out that from the Rambam would appear that he doesn't agree with Tosis that it's a universal din. From the Rambam would appear that it's only these two cases, and that's all. It's a din by Yom Kippurim because it's not a violation of the Inisa. By eating achila gasa, he's not violating the Inui. And by Zar Shochal Truma, Achila Gasa also, you can't really call it a bitl mitzvah because the kohen is not supposed to eat the truma in an Achila Gasa fashion. The kohen is supposed to eat it in a normal fashion. Just like the kohen is not allowed to smear his body with the yayin shel truma, he's not allowed to drink the shemen shel truma. He has to do everything in a normal fashion. So too, the kohen is not allowed to eat truma b'achila in a fashion of achila gasa. So if the zar will eat truma achila gasa, the Gemara says he'll be potter because he didn't do the bitl mitzvah in the same way the kohen is supposed to do the mitzvah.
What about by
kohen
pesach? Wouldn't that be a third area? By kohen pesach achila gasa.
Tosis claims by Korban Pesach, if you eat Achila Gasa, you're not Yotze. But the Rambam never says it, so the Rambam can understand the Gemara Kipshuto. The simple reading of the Gemara is that if you eat Achila Gasa, you are Yotze. So Tosis asks the Kasha, how can it be? What happened to the Gemara in the last Perek in Yuma? So the Keren Uri says, according to the Rambam, the Gemara is only in those two cases. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought also. He thought, according to the Rambam, it's only those two cases. Only Achila Gasa by Yom Kippurim, because it's not a bitl of Inisim, and Achila Gasa by Zar. Because that's not the way the kohen should have eaten it. So there's not bitl misvasa shalat truma, they are kohen. So again, so the Gemara says, he just said that mashkim ayotzim and azesim and adovim retained it in pri, and all the other mashkim, and all the other mashkim is only called zeyah b'almo. That's the Gemara we had, lamet chesam and aleph, machlek zablezer, Rebbe Yeshua, paslan, Rebbe Yeshua. That if you drink mashkim ayotzim from oral of fruits, so if it's mashkim ayotzim and azesim and adovim, you get malchus, because it retains the shem pri. From all the others, it's only zeyah b'almo. So it's the same nafkamina for bari pri hoetz, that's what the Gemara says, they're lamet ches. You only say bari pri hoetz, amashkim ayotzim and azesim and adovim. So where do you say amashkim ayotzim and azesim and shem and zayis? Where do you say bari pri hoetz? Whoever says bari pri hoetz. The Gemara says, usually you use it in cooking, you're making oatmeal cereal, so boil in a little oil. So it's an ikar and a tuffel. Or you're going to have a salad, a vegetable salad, you pour some oil, shem and zayis as a dressing on top, and so it's also a tuffel. You don't say a bracha. Find the bracha should have been barbeit, so you're not going to say a bracha there. Let's say you're making vegetable soup and you pour a little bit of olive oil in, it's also a tuffel. Vegetable soup, you say huadoma, and the shem and zayis is a tuffel. The only case the Gemara can come up with is if he's a choshish bigroinoi. A person has a condition, he has trouble with his sinuses, so the doctor recommends you should have shemen zayis, but you've got to drink shemen zayis like this, it doesn't taste good, and it's not healthy, azuki mazikley. So the Gemara says, let him put in, instead of putting in a tiny drop of shemen zayis in his vegetable soup, let him put in a heavy dosage of shemen zayis. It's still going to be less than 50% of the whole mixture, but since that's the whole purpose why he's drinking the soup today, because the doctor told me he should have a higher amount of shemen zayis, so then we declare that the less, usually whatever is less than 50% is arbitrarily declared as the tof, or whatever is more than 50% is arbitrarily declared as the ikar, but sometimes it's not the case. Here, the pashtus says that the shemen zayis is less than 50% of the mixture, but still, that's the ikar over here, because the doctor recommended it, doctor prescribed it. So in such a case, the bracha will be bari pri hoetz. A normal anigron, maya de silka. Anigron is maya de silka. Silka is beets. Maya de silka is a borscht, some kind of a soup. You make a soup with beets. So Rashi writes, mayim shesholka behem tardin. Tardin is beets. Tardin, the same thing as silka. So on all vegetable soups, you say huadoma, even if you strained out all the vegetables. Takes on the same bracha as the vegetables. Ay, but Tosis says on Lamentes and Aleph, I say it based on the Gemara, Bishti or Meshahakal, whenever you're drinking things, the bracha shahakal, the answer is, that's if you're drinking a beverage. Tosis says all beverages are shahakal. When you drink a soup, Rashi calls it a maichel, that's not a mashke. You're drinking a maichel. Sometimes you eat a maichel if it's in a solid form, and sometimes you drink a maichel. Soup is a maichel, it's not a mashke. A mashke haste, if you have a beverage, that's called a mashke. So that's what Tosis interprets in the Gemara, Lamed Chesam and Aleph, that all beverages are shahakal. You can't have a beverage that's going to be mezainis. Beer is a beverage. You're not going to have a beer that's going to be mezainis, and you're not going to have coffee. So Machranim asked that the coffee bean grows on a tree, so it should be bar pihoetz. On coffee, you should say, when you drink a cup of coffee, you say bar pihoetz. So it could be that it's not bar pihoetz because
that din then a vegetable soup is burpi adama, so the Rosh is mistopic to say that that's only on vegetable soup, not on fruit soup. If you cook fruits in soup, in order to say burpi, it's maybe you need the tzura sapri. But in order to say burpi adama, beferish you don't need tzura sapri. If you cook vegetable soup and you strained out all the vegetables, you still say burpi adama. So perhaps you don't say burpi ha'etz on coffee, because in order to say burpi ha'etz, you have to have tzura sapri nikeres. Why don't you say burpi adama? If you say burpri hadoma on fruits, but he ever yoytze, lachatchil, you should have said fancy, you should have said burpri, but he ever said hadoma. So the Mishnah says, we pass him that you are yoytze. And maybe the teretz to the kash is you don't say burpri who eats on coffee, because for burpri who eats, you have to have a tzuris hapri, but for burpri hadoma, we know from the Gemara, then a vegetable soup, we do say burpri hadoma. So let the coffee be like vegetable soup. Why don't you say burpi adama? Nobody says wait, nobody says adama. So the answer is because coffee is a beverage. We follow the Taisa, that's what the Prima Gadim says. Taisa says in interpreting the Gemara, shtisa raka de brocha shahako. Why? Because it's a shtia. A shtia means it's a beverage. Whatever is a beverage, the brocha is always shahako. This over here, this anigroin, Rashi says this is a maichel, this is soup. Soup is a maichel, soup is not a mashke. The difference between a maichel and a mashke is not solid versus liquid, it's beverage versus food.
What about if you drink champagne in a beverage?
Yeah.
Champagne
is regular wine. No, champagne is regular wine. You say barpi agafen. Some achrayim raise the possibility that maybe because they put in the carbonation into the champagne, so maybe that's called nishtana. And the din is that when you have, that's the next gemara, lamechess on the base, if you have vegetables or fruits that you can eat the way they are, then you cook them. So the rule is if it's nishtana ligriusa, then it loses its identity and it's considered synthetic food and you say shahako. If it's nishtana limayusa, then it retains its original identity. So one of the gedolim, the Kosher Glover, has in his sefer, Eretz Tzvi, he raises such a possibility that on carbonated wine, on champagne, maybe you should say shahakol. So after a few paragraphs, he comes to the conclusion that they charge more money for the champagne than for regular wines. Obviously, it's a shtani lemal yusa, not a shtani ligri yusa. So it does retain the original bracha. It's regular bar priagofen. Should be regular bar priagofen. Then the Gemara quotes on the top. Achoshish tapa olam and vav and ala, five lines on the top. Achoshish begrona layer avena b'shemen chila b'shabbos. What's the din? The 24 prokim on Masechah Shabbos. So practically the whole parak of Shemana Shuatzim, except for the first daf, is dedicated to the Issa the Rabbanon of refuah b'shabbos. They made a gzera the Rabbanon that a bari has a mechesh b'alma is neither allowed to prepare a refuah nor is permitted to swallow the refuah. Because of the Gemara Shemi Shachik Samaman, let's say a Nochri comes to me and he wants me to make a concoction of, I'm a doctor, wants me to prepare a refuah for him and he's going to drink it. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to prepare a refuah b'shabbos. Even though you're not going to grind anything, Zeri Shema Yishachik Samaman. And even if the refuah was prepared on Erev Shabbos, even if you have a bottle with pills in it, you bought it in the store a long time ago, a month ago, you're not allowed to apply the refuah b'shabbos. The two prohibitions included in these are not to prepare the refuah and not to apply the refuah b'shabbos. And the gzera even applies when there's nothing to grind up. Well, he's going to grind up the zeisim. The bottle of Shemin Zeis, he doesn't live anywhere. It's from Italy. Italian olive oil. He doesn't live near Italy. He's not Shaykh. He's not going to grind it up. Well, he's going to go to Italy in order to grind up the zeisim. Nothing to grind up. So that's clear in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras that the Gzera de Rabbanon was instituted as a light plug, and even in situations where there's nothing to grind up, he's still not allowed to apply the refuah b'shabbos. The Gemara says you're not allowed to apply a hot water bottle. The person has a bellyache. He's not allowed to put a hot water bottle on his belly that it should stop hurting. But he's going to grind up the water. There's nothing to grind. He's going to grind up the plastic container. There's nothing to grind over it. So the Gemara said the Farish that even in a situation where there's no, where it's not shach to do malacha, it's a loy plug rabban. The gzer was instituted as a loy plug. There is a svara, one of the gedolim, the Chelkas Yoyav, who was a chassidish rebbe, he came up with the suggestion that if you have a gzer de rabbanon,
and you have a loy pluk, so the gzera even applies in a situation where the reason for the gzera doesn't apply. So he thought, but in the case of the loy pluk, it's a lower level prohibition than in the case where the reason does apply. In the case where the reason applies, that's a strong gzera. Case where the reason doesn't apply, that's a weak gzera. So he thought maybe you should be matir a gzera, the loy pluk aspect of gzera, maybe you should be matir b'makom mitzvah. So the Avnei Nezer corresponded with him, and he says he doesn't think he's right at all. It's probably a mitzvah not to suffer on Shabbos. So why shouldn't we say the hot water bottle is a gzera d'rabbanan, loy pluk b'makom mitzvah? Why should he suffer with the bellyache? He claims he has a lot of rice. The Avnei Nezer has a lot of rice against the Chelkas Yoyim. Anyway, that's the Gzera D'Rabbanan. One is not permitted to apply Refu B'Shabbos, unless, and Shulchan Aruch says, unless he's a Choyle She'ein Bo Sakana. The prohibition to use Refu only applies if he's a Bari with a Mechesh B'Yam. If he's actually a Choyle She'ein Bo Sakana, it means that he's unable to function normally because of the condition that he has. So then we label him as a Choyle She'ein Bo Sakana. We allow him to take Refu. Or if it's a Michael Brim, if the food that he's taking, let's say schnapps, he only takes schnapps when he's sick. He doesn't enjoy schnapps. But today he's sick on Shabbos, so he wants to take the schnapps. So since there are normal people who drink schnapps all the time, let's say a guy can't stand spinach, he has this hang up, he remembers his mother used to force him to eat the spinach, he throws up now whenever he eats spinach. So the doctor says he has some kind of sickness, he has to eat spinach. So you're going to say eating spinach on Shabbos is a poor. Because he doesn't usually eat it. No, but there are other people who eat spinach. It's a Michael Brim, even though for him, he never eats it. But spinach and schnapps is a Michael Brim, so he's allowed to take it on Shabbos also. The only time they ask it, the refu is if it's refu hanikeres. If it's not niker, because it's a Michael Brim, then they never made the gzera d'rabbanan. So then the Gemara says, and if you eat this anigron, the vegetable soup, with a heavy dosage of shemen zayis mixed in, because he has this sinus condition, he's choshish bigrono. So then the ikir, even though it's less than 50%, the ikir is really the shemen zayis. And then he says bari priho eitz. Then he says bari priho eitz. So the Gemara says pshita. Of course he says bari priho eitz. What's the chiddush? Gemara says no. Ma'u detema. One might have thought that since only sick people do this lirafua, this is not a normal michael. Brim would never eat it like this, since only sick people eat it like that. So I would have thought, whenever you do the refuah, you don't say a bracha. So kamash malon, that since, bottom line, since he gets anor from it, boy bruchi, you do have to say a bracha. So that's what Taisus says. You see for this gemara. Nira madvarim, you see for this gemara. Adam shows him ashkim, if it tastes awful and he's just taking the refuah, you don't say a bracha. But if he does get anor from it, so even though his what motivated him to drink the michael is the refuah, so then you do say a bracha. If it's le'anah mina, you do sebra. Okay. So again, tomorrow morning, I have to give a shiur early in the morning at 9:30. And I realized I'm not going to get back on Thursday morning in time for shiur. I will be back for the 1:30 shiur. Those who attend the 1:30 shiur on Erev, I will be back by that time. But I will not make it for the morning shiur. I apologize. And then on Sunday, I'm going out of town for Shabbos, but I do plan to be back on Sunday morning for the shiur. I think I will be here on Sunday. Okay.